Yo, what's up? On this episode, we got my boy Michael Harrison. We discuss how selfish women can be, spotting red flags, are we attracted to status, and the difference between status and value, how instinctual attraction works, and how confidence is the ultimate aphrodisiac.
That's right. And also, if you love the show, please support us on Patreon if you can. For a little bit, you get some bonus content. We answer listener mail. We do some bonus shows, including this show we do with Michael. A little bit of a bonus. This one's fun. Who was the worst guest on the show? We talk about. We name names. What happens if you sell your body for sex? How being unaffected is the most attractive thing, and manipulative tools that people use all the time. Support us because it helps us keep the show going. Patreon.com/manschool202 to help us out. Join the Patreon and enjoy the show.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man.
Better man.
Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't. Yo, yo, what up? Your Square Pimp Brigade, GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The Sexual Revolutions being podcasted. And I am excited. I'm ready to rock and roll, because we got a special show. Now, I may have said that 500 times before, but this time I mean it.
Yeah, real this time.
First and foremost, Harry, how you doing? You ready to rock and roll?
Oh, man, I am excited.
Let's do it.
I'm excited. We got some international flavor all the way up to Canada. That's how far we go.
All right.
That's how far. You could introduce the guest.
This dude, I met him a couple years ago. Good friend of Gina Brion. That's how I met him. We work together. Funny dude. Enjoyable guy to watch. A really enjoyable guy to watch.
Funny, and the legendary.
And Michael Harrison, everybody. I don't say that a lot. Am I right?
You don't say that a lot.
I don't say it a lot.
He says I'm special, though. He says special a lot, though, right?
That's true.
Special guest. Special.
But he uses it in the real way, yeah. Not the sarcastic way for Michael Harrison.
Yeah, and I just want to, I like this dude. Always was a good dude to me, and give it up for Michael Harrison.
Thank you.
Give it up, y'all.
Give it up. Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad because, you know, you hit me up, and I was like, yeah, let's get you in. And so...
Yeah.
I'm glad you were available. You've been touring a little bit, yes?
Yeah, it's been crazy.
Where you been at?
Oh, God, I had to go over on the cruise ship.
I know.
I was on a cruise ship during the whole COVID mess.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did they get it? Or did
Dude, it was hilarious. There was two singers who got COVID,
right,
and two dancers. So I was supposed to do like this, you know, sort of PG-13 show at this nice little cabaret space.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved me to the main theater. And I ended up offending someone. Like,
you?
Yeah.
How were you? You're not offensive,
dude.
Dude,
it was hilarious. I was doing like some crowd work with the audience, and then something came up about just about pets. And I was like, oh, yeah, I saw a woman just with a, what is it, pushing a dog in a stroller in Fort Lauderdale. So then I made like some joke about that. And a woman got up, left, and told the ship captain that I was making fun of people with mental disabilities, right? Said I was making fun of that because she needs an emotional support dog. I didn't even know this woman existed.
Right.
So she asked them to kick me off the boat. That was how far.
So what happened? Did you end up fucked over by it? Or?
No. I was off the boat in a day anyways because I was only scheduled for half of it.
Right.
And it was hilarious because another comic, Stephen Scott, was supposed to be on the second half.
Yeah.
He came on. And then he got COVID, and he didn't even perform. He ended up quarantining. So
wow,
I know.
And now, do you think you'll be able to go back or no?
They did. They asked for my schedule, but they did give me like a what is it? They just didn't back me up at all. Like the cruise ship themselves was like, well, maybe you should think about what kind of jokes you tell. And I'm like, I never brought up mental illness, you know, or any of that. This
they're
woman,
never there.
Did they have it recorded or no? Where you could.
They didn't record it. Normally, they're supposed to, right? So I could have easily defended myself. But,
you better record it next time. And even if you do an audio, just to make sure.
Actually, I did have that. So I did send them the audio. But at that point, their minds are made is that, oh, this woman says you made fun of people with mental disabilities.
Man, that's the thing I hate about cruise ships. It's just like you got to, like some goofy bitch who needs to push a dog around in a stroller. You goofy bitch. Fuck you.
Yeah, no kidding. You know what even cracks me up, too? Is like the ship captain's like, yeah, she was crying and everything. And I was like, clearly this emotional support dog doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah, she needs more emotional support dogs.
You need an emotional hippopotamus. Cut you in half, you goofy bitch.
Yeah, no kidding.
It just the fact that they'll think that you... You wrote this joke to offend them.
Right.
Like, nobody gave a fuck. You know how long I've been doing this joke?
Yeah.
When you didn't know you needed an emotional support dog.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot. But it is what it is.
No kidding.
It was just a bit in
strollers. I was like, you know, emotional support dogs have leashes. Like, yeah. The joke still stands.
I didn't even know.
Yeah,
I didn't even know that it was the stroller thing. fucking awful bitch.
Exactly. So, that's what I've been performing for.
Let's hope she got COVID. Am I right, everybody?
Yeah, right.
I hope she got the Omarion, too.
The Omarion.
And Delta. Go for all of them. Back to back.
What was the first one?
COVID.
D-O-G.
COVID.
The OG COVID.
Yeah, right.
I hope that bitch gets polio.
Yeah. Oh, you want to go old school.
Yeah, I
want
to go old school. Rickets and polio.
Get her.
Scurvy.
Everything. On top of each other.
Whoop and cough. I hope she gets the whoop and cough.
The whoop and cough.
Oh my God.
Money Mike just broke up with, you know, had a little girlfriend, some things.
Yes.
What? How long were you with her?
4 years.
And what happened?
Oh man. What is it? She decided not to pay rent. Right.
Oh, wow.
So it started off that way.
Wow.
Yeah, it's actually sort of funny, Dante. What is it? And this might take me 3 minutes
landlord,
to explain.
The landlord doesn't think so, but go ahead.
Oh, no kidding.
We got
that was a funny thing, is like when COVID went down, all of a sudden, oh man, we had to make a decision about should we renew, and the place was like $3,400 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So we did it, and then all of a sudden other places in the, you know,
empty
in our complex started dropping.
Right.
So she just felt it was unfair.
Right.
So come around, I think it was like...
Well, you did renew or you didn't?
You did renew,
well, we did
but
renew.
Then COVID came and everybody
right.
left.
Yeah.
Everybody
right.
went home.
So prices went down and she
thought
that was
unfair. How far did the prices go down?
Oh, man. People are getting theirs for like $2,600.
Wow. Oof.
Right? Yeah. So that's pretty... Ew. But what the deal? So we had $3,400,
right.
And she just decided, you know what? I don't want to pay rent. The courts aren't going to look into any case for a while.
Right.
And I bet you any money,
right.
It will just settle, blah. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. Just the only thing is I'm going to pay you my rent every month. And I don't want this ever getting back to me because I'm an immigrant and I'm going for citizenship.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So that was
the deal. You can't just do that. You can't for you.
I can't just do that.
Yeah,
luckily, you know, it's like, yeah, just I can't be a part of that. She's
Were you
all
on the
lease
or she was all on
She's
the,
on the lease.
Okay.
But
regardless,
that
regardless, he can't be named in a fucking
right. He can't
legal documents.
Yeah,
100%. Right,
he's an immigrant, even though he's Canadian. Those are still immigrants.
Go back where it came from.
Yeah,
I know.
Canadians are still immigrants. We forget that.
Yeah,
I just need a clean record.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm like, this feels like what is it, an audition to be American? These
right.
5 years,
right.
You know, you're like, how are we gonna be? So I'm like, all right, I gotta keep this clean.
Right.
So what is it? She decides not to pay. She decides not to pay. So
fuck
I
this
pay.
Landlord. We'll settle.
Yeah. So I pay every month as I do, and I'm on tour a bunch and whatever.
You're paying her every month.
Yeah, I paid her because, like I say, I have to do things my way. I have to do things
right.
correctly.
You gotta do it right.
Legally,
right.
I don't want anything against me. So I do that, and then sure enough, what is it? One of the days I was there, someone knocked on the door. I opened it up. And someone presented me a lawsuit with my name and said, we're taking you to court for not paying. And I was like, what?
How did they put your name on it when you weren't on the paperwork?
Turns out that they'd already went after her a month earlier. She never told me this. And
right.
she screamed at them and said, get away, and kept the door locked and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So
didn't bother to tell you.
Yeah, didn't tell me this.
So this whole
so they
crazy
went to me
thing-
because I had to sign to get keys. So they did have my name, and they did have some info on me because I needed that in order to be given a set of keys. So, yeah, they obviously the next step is to go after whoever's in the place. So they presented
you can name
me.
Anyone in a legal document, basically.
Yeah.
It's up until, yeah.
Not if they don't know you, player.
No, that's true.
Prince Mandingo has never got served. never.
This is some
really?
This is a great lesson.
Wow, all right. Yeah,
Prince Mandingo has never gotten served.
Well, it was a lot easier when Prince Mandingo, there's a lot of less of a digital footprint for
yes,
Prince
that
Mandingo.
Is true.
In all fairness.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah, America's Most Wanted has
he might have had a driver's license
that
said
Prince
away. Mandingo.
Prince Mandingo had a driver's license. Right. Absolutely.
Prince Mandingo had a social
my work,
social security
my work
number?
ID said Prince Mandingo on it. I didn't give a fuck.
So Jesus. So she fucks you over here.
So yeah, then I just go to her and obviously I'm like, you know, angry.
Hey,
and I'm like, all right, well, you gotta settle this. This is it. This is the one thing I told you can happen.
I didn't want
it can't
to happen,
come
yeah.
back to me.
Right.
And it is. And she said, no, I'm in too deep. And then the next day she went to Italy. She was in Italy for three. By the way, this girl makes like 120 grand a year. She works at like the second highest paying hospital in America as a nurse. And then I was just
so could have afforded this rent.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. Yeah.
Okay.
So sure enough.
And
she,
it's half. It's not even the full 34.
Amount.
It's
yeah,
half.
Right. So then she goes off to Italy with her friend, and that's where I was like, she's just like not responding to me. And I was like, okay, I break up with you. And I moved out while she was in Italy.
Oh,
and
good.
And that's
man.
How it happened. And I sent her the email and everything. And yeah, she's been trying to get back together with me.
Oh, she has been trying.
Yes, she has.
How's the legal thing happen? What's happened with that?
Well, I went down and I paid it all. So I paid 15 grand. So I went straight to
You're
the
shitting.
No, I paid it because I can't have
yeah,
that on my
you
head.
Can't have it on your, yeah, you
I can't have
you
it.
You can't earn if you
if she's not gonna do anything, I just took care of it. I went and paid 15 grand and then
Oh, you're off the is
I'm
she still
it.
There?
No, she moved. Yeah.
I mean you wow. can't sue her for that. I think you can.
No, I don't think so.
He's not trying to make no waves.
I
he's,
guess so.
He is one day I remember being in a backyard in a
Yeah, he is
in,
right.
In,
Maybe it's not worth
in,
it.
in Washington Heights. And there was this huge rooster. Like
Oh, my
like
uncle lived there?
Like a fucking like a fucking turkey.
Yeah.
Like a 30-pound rooster.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember looking at on the wall there was a cat that was tiptoeing like
Oh wow. no.
Don't
wow.
let this motherfucker see me. That's Mike. That's Mike.
Yeah.
In the,
living in the United
just
States.
Just tiptoeing around that big ass.
Hey, man,
rooster.
I don't want no problems. I don't want
to I have to.
No, I get it. I get it.
Once
it,
I get that citizenship, I could let go. Then my mom.
Then you're going to sue that bitch?
Yeah, I'm going after everybody.
How long
Everyone's
going to
know what I think of
them.
But till then, I'm polite.
Was it
be.
Difficult to get the work? You have a work visa then?
A green card.
A green card.
Yeah.
And so, wow. And how much? And that's like, what, 10 grand, right?
Yeah.
10 or more?
10. Cost me 10. You know what? It was great, though, because at the time, you guys were on par currency-wise. So it actually cost me 10 grand. Right now, for a Canadian, it costs like 15 grand.
Really? That's how it's
American.
Down.
15 grand American.
Well, 15 grand Canadian.
15 grand Canadian.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I only had to spend 10 grand Canadian at the time.
Right.
You know, but
now
like my brethren, if they wanted to come now.
That's crazy. And so what's the conversation about her trying to get back with you? Like, what is the
You know, she just she thinks I should just forgive the mistake. She's now finally owning up to, you know, I didn't know it'd create anxiety for you. I thought, you know, you're overreacting.
But you said that.
And I was like, I set this up. Yeah.
I said this up front.
By the way,
course.
Anxiety is kind of, that's a little passive aggressive.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know you were going to be a little bit of a bitch about this.
Yeah.
Anxiety. You're like, it's not about anxiety. It's about
me
getting kicked out of
me.
The country.
You know what was the big kicker is when she's like, I just couldn't do it because I was in too deep. And I was like, you're in too deep. I'm in a whole new country with no family.
And,
all right?
and minus 15 grand.
Yeah, minus 15 grand.
You should tell her, well, I guess you don't want to get back with her, but you could be like, listen, you pay me back the fucking 15 grand, I guess, then we can have a fucking dinner.
Yeah, she did offer to pay back. So, and I did take it.
You did take it?
Yeah. I mean,
Wait,
not.
You did take it?
I did take it. I had to.
Oh, okay.
I was like,
no,
are you
I
kidding
understand.
Me?
I understand. Yeah.
Initially, I just spent it and I was like, oh man, I'm going to be hurting for a minute. You know, like
right,
I found a really cheap place. So I'm not living in luxury, ladies.
No.
is that the place you're at now that I did the recording?
No.
Oh, no, wait, that's not your place.
Nope. No, that's
Yeah, but here's the thing. He's not living in luxury, but he's also showed himself to back his woman up.
Yes.
15 grand deep, bitches. Yeah. Get on board or get left behind.
I now have 15 grand back. So I guarantee
and now he's got
the
back. Yeah. So he has the willing. Yeah. He is willing to support his
Look
woman.
Let me show off my money. I might have 15 grand now, ladies. Guaranteed.
Don't even matter the grand. It's that you will support your woman. You have because the same way that goofy bitch was like, I didn't know this was going to be anxiety for you. Is who she is.
Yeah.
That's, well, let me ask.
Such a red flag, right?
Yeah, well, but did, yeah. What was the red flag before that? Had to be.
I mean, before that?
Yeah.
That was a giant red flag. I mean, you got to remember, I guess love
was there
means that you could.
Was there anything before that?
Had to
yeah.
be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's times where they try to emasculate you. Like, that seems to be the trick of the woman is, like, to try to emasculate you a little bit if you're.
What did you feel she did?
Well, she always wanted kids.
Right.
I always wanted kids. And kids was like, I was like, fine, but like, let's make us work first. Yeah. You know, let's like,
yeah, that's not bad.
Figure out how
that's
we
not
are.
A bad way to put it in order. You
right.
Know? Let's
exactly.
make sure we're good so we don't just bring some kid into some fucking insanity.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, so.
I wish you had come 3 years ago.
I wish you'd spoken to you 3 years ago. Dante had a baby that is now in England. Speaking of international
yeah,
stuff.
I got an international baby.
You got an international baby.
From Brooklyn.
There you
from
go. Brooklyn. Yeah, exactly.
Brooklyn's in there. Hey, mate. When I call him up, he's, hey, mate. Cheers. So, but what was the red flags before? Like, you can't have this bigger thing where she goes, fuck you, and then goes to, I'm in too deep, and then goes to Italy.
Yep.
There had to be a lot of selfishness.
Well, I mean, she's think about it this way. She makes a ton of money. Oh, by the way, she's an immigrant, too. She's from Ghana.
Okay.
So she's, not that that has anything to do with anything, but she was very hard-headed. You know, she's a little stubborn, which is absolutely fine. You know, people have their personalities. But, yeah, those aren't red flags per se. But obviously that led into power struggles. That's what relationships are. Like, you have to try to control those power struggles, and they'll start inflating because she only had one real big want. And I wasn't going for it.
What's the kid?
Children.
Yeah, so I'm like, to her,
I feel like,
you know.
I feel like. I think if you look at this in retrospect, like what I find is anytime I counsel dudes, anytime dudes go through some stuff, it's always the incident that breaks the camel's back is nothing. It's never the same thing. And you know Keith Malley, right?
Yes. Good.
So when I've said this a couple of times.
That's
but,
fine. It's been a while. It's always fun
Keith,
to hear it again.
Keith was married.
Yep.
And he was with his girl, and he came on the show, and he goes, I got problems. This bitch, he was like, you know
really?
That piece of fucking. He goes, she will not close the kitchen cabinets.
Yep.
And she uses the towels, wet towels, and there's wet towels all over the floor. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, well, have you had a conversation about this? And he goes, yes. Have you had a conversation about the house? He goes, yes.
Okay, yes.
I go, you should take all the cabinet doors off the cabinets. Right? And he goes, yada, yada, yada. We laughed it off,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the
that's
next,
only Dante can do that.
Yada,
Dante,
yada,
you're
ba,
crazy.
Ba,
I'm not you.
It's too extreme.
That's too extreme. Ba, 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 ba.
Next time he comes back, he's divorced.
Wow.
And what I was saying, what I was thinking about even then was that, like, when you're talking about kitchen cabinets.
It's not about the kitchen cabinets.
Right, but it's something as small as, listen, this, I
it's
love
about the disrespect.
You. We're living together. This is really gets under my skin. Mm-hmm. And you know, we don't have, this is something that we could eliminate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure, there may be thing you talk about, maybe the I'm not going to have your kids. That's a whole nother thing. But
yeah.
I'm saying, but could you close the kid? It's really, and could you not leave wet towels all over the floor?
Yeah.
And he had conversation with her, and she yesed him to death and just kept doing it.
Yeah.
And what I was trying to explain to him then is the real thing is that she doesn't give a fuck about what makes you happy.
Yeah.
I know it seems like a small thing. Maybe this is just a habit where she leaves the kids. But it's not a habit if I've had a conversation with
yeah.
you
mm-hmm.
specifically about this. This bothers me. Could you please
fix it?
Could you make an amendment, whatever, whatever.
Dante's way to go is cut to the end of this. Let's get to the point. Let's take the kitchen cabinets
Cut the kitchen cabinets off.
Don't get me kicked out of this country. And that was my kitchen cabinet.
Keith said that was too extreme, and we came up with some alternating suggestions. I said he should put on a karate gi, and if they're open, just start roundhouse kicking, going,
roundhouse kick. Then kick him up,
put his fist through him. Right? I said that, and then I sort of
like this podcast, because this podcast has you talking about other podcasts I wasn't on. I'm like, yeah, please tell me the best of other podcasts.
We love good gossip.
Well, let me tell you about Keith Malley's episode. What a great one.
He didn't want to break the cabinet, so I came up with another suggestion. I said, okay, if you want to break the cabinets, you want to remove them, just draw swastikas on the inside of the cabinet. And let's see how much she really wants to leave those cabinets open.
And
he chose to get divorced.
Yeah. But on a fundamental level.
What a way to learn if she does want to keep those cabinets open. Swastikas there. It's like, yeah, that does work.
Like, touché.
Yeah,
you come in, all the cabinets in. She's saluting you.
That would be worse, but at least you'd know.
At least you know.
Exactly.
At least you know sooner.
Yeah.
This is something we should have discussed, but I'm glad I know now.
But I mean, I think you get a situation where these things are happening in a smaller way. Like for him, it was the kitchen cabinets, which he didn't think. But it's really, what's the subtext?
I mean, also keep in mind, too, I'm a comedian. So obviously a lot of the big problems is just like my touring schedule sometimes. You know, that's like with a lot of, you know, what's so funny is the girl I broke up with before her, she got engaged 6 months after we broke up to a dude who looked just like me. Unreal.
Yeah, that's doomed.
And you know what is sort of crazy? Doomed. Yeah, I broke up with her, but you know what's sort of crazy too? Is that he's a pilot, and I'm like, she hated me for touring. I'm like, is there anyone worse than a comedian than a
on
pilot?
The road more than a pilot.
Wow.
Well, you know what's interesting about that? The thing that attracted you about what probably attracted her to you in the first place was your unavailability to a certain extent.
Oh, like, that's so interesting. Yes.
So then you just you know, we do this over and over again. I bet you, what did her father do?
The Ghana lady?
No, the one before
the
that.
Pilot. Oh, the one before her?
The one who married the pilot.
Yeah, what is it? Well, she is from Guyana, so her father
actually... Oh, you got a type.
You stay in the chocolate, huh, Mike?
You love chocolate.
No, she was Indian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's still chocolate, really. Milk chocolate.
Guyanese?
Yeah, Guyanese.
That's chocolate. That's chocolate.
Right? No, Guyanese is half Indian, I believe. Right?
Half Indian.
What's the other half,
Mike?
It depends.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah,
yes.
The other half. That's what we're talking about, Mike. You're 3/4. I've only known two relationships. 3/4 is chocolate. You're 3/4 chocolate at the least. That's dark chocolate.
I'm gonna go 1 3/4.
1 3/4.
Hilarious.
But the what did the father do?
What did the father
do? He was Indian, like straight black hair, Indian, full Indian.
Yep.
Yes.
In Guyana, he ran a bodega store.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So he just ran a store, like, for upbringing, but he hadn't done anything in years. Just retired, like, whatever type thing.
But you find, so here's what's interesting about that. You find this a lot with, and I alluded to this last time about immigrant parents. Mm-hmm. Immigrant parents are about survival.
Oh, by the way, like, he they didn't even live in the same country. He was in Guyana. She was in Toronto.
Oh, he's unavailable to her.
Yep. Yeah,
and
I know.
And so this is, you see how the pattern happens again? It repeats itself.
It does.
She wants unavailable. No, I
know. You know what's funny is I did notice that too. Like, I was in a relationship. I'm like, man, you know, me and her father, there's some striking similarities.
I mean, the next guy she's going to be with is going to be an astronaut. Right. Like, I'm going to Mars. I don't know if you want to get married.
Listen, I'm going to the space station. I'm staying there for 3 years. But then we'll have
letters,
kids when I come back.
Write letters to people on death row.
Yeah,
Jesus.
It's so crazy that we repeat these same patterns over and over again.
What I find interesting is that she loves subconsciously wants unavailable people because her father is unavailable.
Right.
And yet, you're talking about, it becomes a thing of like, you're on the road too much.
Yep.
Why aren't you home?
Yeah. Like, that
you
becomes
pick a person
fight.
Who's unavailable.
Basically the father argument she's always wanted.
Right.
To have,
yeah.
You know, and yell at.
Well, it's also because there's a normalcy to that.
Yep.
Because whatever you do, whatever you grow up in, is becomes your normal state, the homeostasis state. Yeah. And so whether you realize it or not, whether you recognize it on a cognitive level that maybe I shouldn't be with a guy who's unavailable, a guy who's available feels more painful to you because it's not normal.
Yep.
It's different.
Of course.
And different is painful a lot of times, even if same is abusive.
Mm-hmm.
Abusive becomes the norm, and then you know, so often you see that, and then this repetitive thing, that, and then you say, then she goes and finds a pilot.
Yeah. But isn't unavailable also attractive to men, too?
Maybe I think for there's a maturity reasons. And an ego to it. I understand what you mean.
Yeah. Like, because I know you're sort of painting the picture of women like men that are unavailable, but don't we also like women that are unavailable?
Yeah, if you're goofy and immature, sure. Because, I mean, the point of this is...
But it's not that.
It's not that.
You know what it is? Unavailable equals status and equals power.
Yes.
And so men are also addicted to that because we want to be on top of it and bring it. Who doesn't? So that's technically...
It's human.
Status is the one thing that everyone craves.
Sure,
it's by far the biggest problem in the history of the world. Fight me on that if you want.
No.
But with that said, that's the point of relationships too. We're always... Even relationships, we use status against each other in the relationship to get what we want.
I would say value instead of status.
Nah,
because
status.
Why you say status?
Status because it's simple. We all crave status. We live in a world where.
But when you say status, explain what you mean by status. Like, what's your definition of it?
Of mine? Okay. No, for status, easy. It's like a term of basically where you are respected by as many people as possible. Where you could do things that others can't, and you could get away with things, and. Basically, a lot of us in this society, in a westernized society, mm-hmm. care about, you know, we have such an elitism athlete attitude towards everything now, you know, that we all have to be singularly the best. No one's a team, right? We all have to have that. So here, you know, people singularly, that's why we have such dumb terms as the GOAT or I'm, you know, a legend or something ridiculous like that. It's like that's...
Yeah, it's ego.
A big ego.
But what a... So here's where I would push.
Even in a relationship, if you have higher status than the person you're dating, you can call the shots more.
Sure.
Right? Absolutely. And that's something we also crave even in that.
But here's the thing. The reason why I say value instead of status is because it depends on what the person sees as valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Status could be value, yeah.
Right. So status could be value, but it doesn't necessarily have to be value. Because, like, I remember dating this detective. I was 22 years old. She was 34, something mm-hmm. like that. And she was a detective, like a captain in the police force. But
big time stuff.
Undercover, the whole shit, right? And I was a 20-year-old stripper.
Okay.
I slept in the basement of this house on a futon.
Yeah.
And I was hustling, right?
Of course.
And the difference was,
we've all been there in our 20s.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially Harry.
Harry, nonstop.
I mean, I didn't sleep in a basement. I slept in my parents' home.
I was doing all right. My bad. I didn't mean to besmirch your character.
Yeah, how dare you.
I've been trying to fit besmirched in my...
Besmirched?
Yeah.
That was perfect.
Thank you, man.
What a way to shoehorn that word in to such a beautiful conversation.
So the... But she had pension, 401k, condominium, real estate. Yep. She was set up, but worried about everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this happens.
Yep.
What happens? This? And I was a dude who was just flying by the seat of my pants, and I didn't give a fuck.
Yep.
And she loved me because I had what she didn't have, which was this carefree attitude. And I didn't have, I mean, I wasn't broke, but I mean, I wasn't, you know.
You weren't independent wealthy or anything.
I had to do some ghetto shows to pay my phone bill. You know what I mean?
Like, but you know what's sort of funny is like wealth is one of the definitely things that you could use status on.
Right.
But you don't need it. In relationships, rarely is status earned through wealth. So even though one person could make more than the other or could be in society considered a more respected form, your status is clearly higher than hers in that relationship because you could conduct yourself more powerfully than her. So,
right, but
yeah,
then,
yeah.
But when I say value is it what that person values. So a woman never dates a guy who's not better than her, who she doesn't think is better. Now, better is a relative term.
Yep.
because it, you know, like Oprah dates Stedman. Stedman's worth $11 million. Oprah's worth billions.
Yeah.
And but what's the difference? It's what she needs from him is not what she what is not what she has.
Yeah.
She needs that somebody to say, like I used to tell this story all the time. And watching Oprah years ago, and watching with my mom, and she wants a dog. So she goes to a Labrador. This is before rescues and shit. She went to a Labrador retriever, white lab breeder.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, please. Oh, he's so cute. I want them all. Now, this bitch could have them all.
Yep.
She could buy all the Labrador retrievers in the world, put them on, buy an island, put them on, and call it Labradoria if she wants to.
Of course.
Stedman goes, no. You just won.
Yep.
He goes, I'll tell you what. I'll pick one and you pick one. Now, you know, Stedman's not walking no fucking dog. This is, so they pick two. And she says, okay, I don't know which one. And it just hit me. Here's a woman who's in such control that she needs somebody who she can relinquish the control. And somebody who's confident enough to have somebody who could literally has enough money to erase you to tell her no. This is it. And that's what she valued.
Yep.
And Stedman doesn't have status, you know, status. The status is with her specifically. It is her respect for him because he's authentic, credible, and empathetic in the same. And he operates in the light of that. And so, I mean, that's why I kind of say value. And the other thing is your actions give, they communicate a subtext.
Of course.
And that subtext is what women are reading when they're attracted to men.
Yep.
It's not what comes out of your mouth. I got a BMW. I got it. When you they hear that, they're almost disgusted by that a lot of time. It's so much cooler when you just pick her up with the BMW.
But what about the X factor?
Which is?
Which is the fact that, like, you know, okay, so this is a big scientific thing, but obviously our, you know, bodies have been around for ages.
200,000 years the humans have been, and
5,000, Dante. We've only been around this planet for 5,000 years.
Down was this stories. Also in the Keith Malley episode?
Reverend, that's true, yeah. That was another problem.
Reverend Harry.
But yeah, the body wants to procreate. That's what our bodies want to do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's obviously where the pheromones come in, and they say that apparently, like, when you appreciate someone's smell, that means you could have a baby with them.
Yeah.
That's like sort of a scientific...
A way to that we link.
Yeah, yes. So it's like there's certain signs that your body does to create the attraction. So your body's also pulling you towards certain people. It's not even personality in some cases.
Sure,
but,
sure.
Yeah, and that's also why it's like, you know, old people never smell good to young people. You can't procreate with that.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Never thought of that. Oh, wow.
It's like you left food outside
for
a long
time.
We
kind of rot. I mean, we are rotting. If
Other old people don't think those old people stink. You know, they're like, yeah, we could do something, I guess. You know, but...
Maybe
but
their nose
old guys always think that young girls smell better.
Right?
That's true. They do.
No matter.
That's
no
true.
Matter what.
And you know what smells really good? The inside of a Lamborghini. Smells nice to a woman.
Yeah. Well, you know, well, it's funny because we you know, this is some. It's weird because the fact that Mike doing the show and having these discussions that we've had before.
Sure, yeah.
And so one of the things that I haven't talked about this in ages is that when you talk about attraction, there's a cognitive level of attraction.
Yes.
And then there's this instinctual. So we have this instinctual that because we're animals and there's certain things that we have developed through the 200,000 years that human beings have been on this earth that is just those smell.
Yep.
You know, what's the other one I always used to use? Our ability to see faces. So, like, you know how you look at a plug and you go, oh, it's two eyes and a mouth. And then, you know what I mean?
Yep.
That comes from us.
And the house. Like, whenever I see a house, it's like two windows, right?
Yeah,
and then the door sort of looks like the nose, right? And then the mouth is closed as a doorstop.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
I was on shrooms. I remember I was like walking by in every house. I was like, man, look at this dude's face.
I saw the first one.
I was calling houses dudes. I was like, look at this dude.
But it comes from our ability to see predatory animals in the foliage.
Yes.
So when looking at a grass area, you could see the eyes, the mouth, and stuff.
Of course.
That's genetically we've developed that. But on top of that is...
We need to procreate, so our body also needs to figure out how to survive.
Yeah. On an instinctual level.
Mm-hmm.
But then because we've developed on this cognitive level, what happens is those instincts seep through the social contract.
Dude, that Guyanese girl, I'm not even lying to you, man. It's like, she couldn't be in a room with me for months without me getting an erection, just naturally, right?
Really?
And then all of a sudden, her hips grew. That was the scariest thing, when her breasts and hips start growing. I was like, what is this, you know? I was like, geez. But yeah, me and her, we were on a weird level too, where it was just very instinctual, very physical, very, you know, we just...
So it wasn't anything, and then all of a sudden, you're saying her body kind of transformed
to
attract you.
Well, not even just to attract me. Like, we were together for when that started happening. But it was like, it just looked like it was getting ready to, you know, procreate if it needed to.
Right, right.
You know? Ready. It's like, like, when we were around, and like I say, my erections, I was just getting them. Like, I was constantly aroused by this woman, you know? And I was like, we just had a hell of a love life, you know, when it came that way. So.
And it wasn't like that prior to that.
No.
Like, it had just fizzled out, or the newness fell off, and then it fizzled out, or?
No, we always actually had an attraction to the bodies, but yet again, it's just like a power battle, right? It was another thing of, she, absolutely beautiful smoke show of a woman, but maybe a little bit more insecure than I was, because I was on tour, and comedy's also always served as a power tool for me, because... You know, I got something I love that I feel proud of.
And
some people don't have that. And
you're validated every time you do
I'm very validated. Yeah. You know, maybe not financially sometimes.
I get it.
But it doesn't matter, because I act like I am.
Right, right.
You know? So you could, like, it's funny about comics who have good sets. We act like we just won $1 million.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So that presents to us whenever we go around talking to people afterwards.
Anytime I've seen you, you always have a smile on your face.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
I mean,
you're a very happy guy. It seems it.
I'm actually, because I'm lucky. Like, it's funny because now I've looked over, like...
Plenty of people are lucky.
Yeah, but I've, like, looked over my life, and I've also realized, too, that, like, if things were to come down on me right now, I achieved so many goals and did so many things I'm so proud of that I have to only look at it as grateful that I got to do it.
I mean, there's people complaining about the quality of their private jet right now, or the the green room at the theater that they're performing at in front of, you know, 5,000 people. And
Nathaniel.
Nathan McIntosh.
He is so upset about his career. And I keep saying to him, I said, dog, you get to do what you love every day. And you do it at a high level. And your peers and people respect you extensively.
Yeah.
And you earn money doing it.
I think he also knows that's where his humor comes from. So he needs to self-sabotage himself that way.
That's interesting,
You know, like some comics know where their well is, and I think they're like, oh, I got to be, you know.
He's pissed.
And once you start being grateful, it's like Sam Kinison. Once that first special he had was great. After that, he was starting to get really, he really dropped off.
That's like Mike Tyson.
He was trying to find things to be angry with, but he couldn't, because he was partying with celebs. He was doing everything he wanted.
Hot girls.
Yeah, he started selling out really hard, and you're like, you know, it's not the same well for you anymore. You know, like, you clearly went to a different well.
You're fucking two chicks at the same time.
Yeah, right?
A third less attractive chick walks into the room.
And he's the fattest, like, dude at that time. He ballooned,
he was
banging models that, you know, have no right.
but even that, you know, when you talk about how he was pulling these models, there's a subtext that he was constantly communicating as value, because there's dudes with plenty. I mean, I get calls from guys who got plenty of money and can't get laid.
Yep.
Or if they get laid, it's a quid pro quo with them shelling out dough, and then they're not fucking them a lot of times. Yeah. I mean, that is extensively going on, because you don't understand how to...
You know what's so weird, too, is it's really just confidence. Confidence. I've seen ugly men with confidence get laid constantly. Yeah. So if you just don't have confidence, if something happened to you in your past where you just can't bring that out, you're going to struggle whether you have money or not. Like, people are like, oh, women are so addicted to money. It's like, they're addicted to confidence.
Yeah, yeah.
Confidence is like the ultimate sexy.
I think it's like, even simpler than that. It's just, if you meet a woman, I always ask dudes, how does she get to know you?
Yeah.
You tell her.
Of course.
You tell her who you are.
Yep.
You and then with your body language, your energy, you tell her what you think you are and what your value is. And when you, if you come in and you're like, no, oh, I don't know, maybe if you want to go out with me once, maybe, blah, blah, blah. Nobody's looking at fucking.
By the way, you know what's funny about this? Is like, that? I've been doing Tinder dates for the last, like, I guess, month, 2 months, and yeah. I keep pushing my podcast on every Tinder date. It's hilarious that you brought this up, only because, like, I remember joking about it to a buddy, and he's like, oh, do you know that's how Elvis Presley did it? It's like he had all these songs, and every woman he dated, he's like, you gotta listen to these songs, and he'd play it, and obviously, you know, they were all romantic songs, but like, he was legitimately so proud of what he was doing that he was telling people, and he could tell people freely. That's almost
but
the same with my podcast.
But what's the subtext of that?
Oh, that like,
this is valuable.
Of course.
This is valuable, and I'm valuable. I'm somebody that brings to life. I bring good things, creativity to life, and I make life better.
Yeah.
And how does she know that? You tell her. You may not go, hey, guess what? I bring things. But you're just, your energy says that I have value. And a lot of times guys will say, I'll get guys and I'll do consultation. Well, how do you gain the confidence? You got to do the work.
Yep.
If you're like, one of the things that I thought that really resonated with me when you said it's like, man, you were almost saying, look, if I die tomorrow, I've accomplished so much good in my life that I'm so pleased with that. And that communicates with people. And not that you think it's over.
No.
But you know that you did the work and the value to that. I mean, you've always been from the day I met you. You was a hustler.
Mm-hmm.
You
definitely
were getting it in. Yo, who's
working,
this?
Always.
Yeah,
working. That's weird too. Like when the pandemic came and like our whole industry imploded.
Yeah.
Turns out being a workaholic doesn't stop. You know, like that was my thing. All of a sudden, I was like, "You're right." Going out and doing park shows because I just had to. Yeah. Not because I necessarily thought that was a brilliant use of my time.
Did you do the Zoom stuff?
And I still do, right?
I couldn't do this. I did the Zoom stuff.
I still make almost $1,000 a month now on Zoom shows.
Really?
So I could still put them together.
Well,
yeah, right?
I
so
think,
it's like,
Dante, you could do the Zoom shows if they paid. If you were getting paid, you'd suck it up and do them.
Yeah. Well, that's a funny thing because there's still like fundraising shows.
Really?
Like, yeah, all over. And it's like, because there's so many other countries that are.
There's so many opportunities for that.
Yeah,
now.
I just booked Judah Friedlander on a Zoom fundraiser for March. Mm. So
I haven't seen Judah. Has Judah not come out?
No, he hasn't come out. He's been 2 years, I think, solitude.
Just solitude, right? Yeah. Just doing the Zoom show.
Yeah, he can't go outside. Yeah. It's not his thing.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Really, he's fucked up about it. Like he.
Yeah. He's avoiding it.
Yeah.
So, but, where were we talking about? I had a great point, and I lost it.
Zoom
value,
workaholic.
The value, workaholic. You were saying how
just the workaholic. And then that's where it's like all of a sudden I put together those sketches, and all of a sudden I won all those awards for like Where's My White Privilege and Delusional Man.
You made films?
That I'm still getting. And then that led me yet again to my podcast that is now was nominated for Funniest Podcast of 2021. And we lost.
Nobody
I forget
won.
But Bill Burr was with us too. He lost too. So I was like, oh, I thought he was gonna kill us, you know, but it was just like one of those things where like all of a sudden you're right, you put in the work because that does. And it's funny that you say value because maybe as a workaholic that's what I've always seeked. Like if we're gonna do a therapist thing on me, is that I've always wanted to be valuable, you know, like as a human being you should, right, to a degree, but like have your own value, something you're proud of. Like I'm so grateful now that I could like speak so passionately about some of the projects I've done.
Right.
And tell people about them. Because, like, I remember one of like, the six sketches I put out and made, one of them didn't turn out the way I liked. Mm. And you could tell by how much I promoted that one. Right? Like, the other five promoted fully.
Uh-huh.
That one has, like, smallest amount of views on my YouTube.
Yeah.
I was looking at my promo. I was like, I just, like, sort of brought it up. Like, oh, by the way, I did this little sketch.
What's your YouTube so the fans can...
Oh, Michael Harrison, comedian. You'll find me.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. I always like to, you know, let them...
and my podcast is called Character Debates, where I make comedians debating characters. Second episode has Harry.
I did. I was an Olympian who had to debate whether or not Olympic wrestling was real.
Yeah, against
Dwayne
The Rock.
The Rock Johnson, who was played by Luke Thayer, of all people.
Luke.
Yeah. It's fun, man. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I broke down a lot. It was an audio podcast, so I would break down a lot in between Luke yelling at me.
Yeah.
In his white voice, calling me a Rudy Poo candy ass. And, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that was my favorite part, too, is when he was talking about doing the ladder match with a semi. And it's like, you can't even find that semi.
It goes off the rails, but it's fun as fuck, man.
Yeah.
How's the Tinder thing going for you, dating-wise? Like, how's that experience? Is this the first time using Tinder?
I think I used it briefly before.
Yeah.
But nothing that I remember doing. Like, and I think maybe one or two dates before.
Yeah.
You know what's so funny? The one thing I remember learning about Tinder is always do a coffee date, try to do it an hour
so
on the first
date. You can get away if you have to.
Yes. I screwed up really bad. I remember on one Tinder. Well, just first off, the girl was great. Like, she was Indian, beautiful. And her face, you know, she looked just like her pictures, so none of that. But, you know, she wanted to talk first, and we talked over the phone. And it's funny, we had this chemistry and everything. And again, it's that instinctual thing. The minute she met me in person in the coffee shop, I just didn't. We had nothing to say to each other.
Really?
We all of a sudden there was like no electricity, like all that stuff was easy to be generated. There is something to an in-person encounter as opposed to what your relationship is online.
Yeah,
because in person, something about the body language, something about like me, maybe I don't know.
You don't know what it is. You can't.
I couldn't even explain it. I knew is I didn't really feel like opening up to her. We just didn't have the type of camaraderie that we had over the phone or any of that jazz. And legitimately 15 minutes in, I told her I was a Trump supporter and started an argument so she could leave. And yeah, that was like 2016, 17. Like, yeah, because I could tell what her affiliation was.
Yeah.
So I did that and I was like, well, that's the best way to have a date quick. Tell people that's you're a crazy Trump supporter.
Oh,
right? Geez, like here in New York, that always works, it seems. So that's when I learned. I'm like, oh yeah, if this ever happens again, don't give
short
them an
day
afternoon or something.
Short
just
day,
yeah. Have a gig and have them come out to a coffee shop for an hour before, and then you can jet.
Let's shut this down. We're going to do a little thing for the Patreon, a little after-hour thing. Is that cool? Can
yeah, sure.
Plug all your stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm on Instagram, Michael Harrison Comedian, I think. And Character Debates is my podcast. It's one of the funniest podcasts.
Nominated for funniest podcast of the year.
100%.
Harry's on episode 2.
I'm on episode 2.
Number
go find
2.
It.
Yeah.
At Harry Turjanian is all my stuff. So.
Google me, bitch. And this do GYBB Get Your Balls Back, WWDD. What Would Dante Do? The Sexual Revolution is being podcasted. Please support us on Patreon, patreon.com/manschool202. And if y'all need a one-on-one consultation, just hit me at DanteNero.com. Click on consult, and you can book time with me. I love y'all, man. We're going to go to the Patreon and kick it around back there. Join up, man. This is how you support us, and this is how we keep doing this. I appreciate y'all. Love y'all. Out.